Okay, this coming Shabbos we'll have the opportunity to read Parshas Tetzaveh. And of course we know that this Shabbos will be unique in that Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal's Yortzeit is this Shabbos, and his impact on Klal Yisrael is immense. So most of this week's points to ponder will feature Torah from Rav Moshe Zatzal and from his Talmidim. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu's name does not appear in this week's Parsha. And so the Balei Torah explains this is based on Moshe Rabbeinu's request, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't forgive Bnei Yisrael for the Chet HaEgel, so Moshe said, wipe me out. And the fact is that when a tzaddik is goes there, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfills, even if the Gezerah was on condition. So the late Mashgiach of MTJ, of Rav Moshe's Yeshiva, Rav Michal Barenbaum Zatzal, offered an additional level of interpretation. He explained that since the majority of the parasha deals with Big Day Kahuna, and that Aaron HaKohen was challenged by Korach with the charge of nepotism, Hashem removed Moshe's name from the command to elevate Aaron and his family and make them Kohanim. This was done to demonstrate that Moshe's status had nothing to do with it, that this was totally Hashem's choice. Now, Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter would often add, in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, that in Yiddish folklore they suggested that they would always read Parshas Tetzaveh on Zayin Adar, and so therefore it would be a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu's death. Now, Rav Soloveitchik also explained that this wasn't a guarantee. Rather, the bigger answer, or the bigger ideal, must be that Moshe Rabbeinu was never zocha to wear the Big Day Kahuna. And even when he was serving as a Kohen, the Gemara tells us that he wore a chaluk lavan. And so ergo, his name doesn't appear in the Parsha with the commanding of the making of the garments. This was one area of life that was closed off from Moshe Rabbeinu directly. We're told, they should take pure olive oil. And Rashi notes that the oil for the menorah had to be pure, without sediment, which, while that which was used for menachos didn't have to be what they call cold-pressed, the first drop. Why is there a difference? So Moshe Zatzal suggested that when we look to illuminating individuals, the leadership needs to be pure. People can't look to leadership thinking that they had ulterior, impure intentions in their presentations to the people. Their intention needs to be zach from the start, and therefore, when illuminating, the illumination has to be zach v'tahor. Then we're told that these people should take the gold and the tchelis. And Rashi explains that those who will make the clothes will also be involved in taking the gold and the tchelis to make the clothes. So why do the Chachmei Lev have to take the donations directly? Why can't there be a processing individual who would also be involved in the mitzvah? Rav Moshe Zatzal suggested that this teaches us a valuable lesson, that Hamaschil b'mlacha omrim lo gemor, when we start a mitzvah, we do it fully. And although by other things, division of labor builds a more efficient product, by spiritual matters, the complete action is ideal. Additionally, by the way, Rav Moshe also noted that when it comes to donations, donations should be given to Gedolim, who can tell you which projects were worth supporting. So going to the people who are the Chachmei Lev, they were the ideal in terms of being able to direct us. Then we're told of the building of creation of the Big Day Kahuna, and we're told, V'yasu'es ha'ifot, they should make the ephod. Now why is this language used in the plural instead of the objectively singular? Why is it V'yasu instead of V'yasisa? You should make it. All the other begunim, we're told V'yasisa. So Rav Moshe's number one Talmud, Rav Nissen Alpert, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, suggested that the Eifa was created to be mechaper for Avodah Zarah. And the opposite of Avodah Zarah is Emunah. And when it comes to Emunah, everyone is equally responsible to play a part and a role. And so hence there is a stress on the plural, V'yasu'es ha'ifod. Everyone has to be involved in the creation of the ephod through the process of being people who are, by definition, ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. Later on in the parasha, we're told about the Mizbach HaNechoshes, V'hayah Mizbeach Kodesh Kadashim. The Mizbeach should be Kodesh Kadashim. Now, why is the Mizbach HaNechoshes called Kodesh Kadashim? Well, the Mizbach HaZov, the one that was used for the Ketores, why is that? That's only called Kodesh. So how could the one that's further away be one that's given a higher status? So Moshe Feinstein offered two possibilities. Possibility number one was that when one's anxious in Zohar Kodesh, when he's closer to the Aron, in other words, when a person's actions are Kodesh, when he's in the Beis HaMedrash, then he needs to make sure that his actions are Kodesh Kadosh when he's further away. When we look like B'nai Torah, our actions require us to be even more particular when we're on the outside. Mori Virabi once pointed out that that's one of the challenges he has when he hears that people on the outside feel that they need to dress down in order to be able to impact Talmidim. We don't dress down to impact Talmidim. We impact Talmidim by being a demus and an image, by being Kodesh Kadashim. This, at the same time, Rav Moshe also suggested that he was in the Beis HaMedrash is already thought of as Kodesh Kadashim. And so therefore the people outside learn from his actions and assume that they're the actions of Kodesh Kadashim. And so therefore it calls to a Talmid Chacham to make sure his actions are proper, especially when he's more visible when he's on the outside. Then we're told of the actions of the Kohen Gadol, and each and every day, he will offer the Ketores, when he cleans the candles, that's when he should offer the Ketores. And Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal explained that the connection between the timing of the Ketores and the cleaning of the menorah is based on the idea that although the actions are the action is done internally and privately, the results are felt well beyond the action. In other words, the Ketores was offered in private, but the Gemara in Yuma on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis explains that its scent was so powerful that women didn't need to wear perfume in Yerushalayim once that Kohen performed the Ketores. And similarly, one who's spreading the light of Torah by being a Torah-based image internally needs to know that his actions are felt well beyond the corners of his home. I think it was Rabbi Yisrael Salanter who pointed out that if they're learning well in the Kavna Kolel, which was his Kolel, then the people, the Shmirah Shabbos, stretches 2, 3, 4, 5 towns away. The illumination carries far and wide. This Shabbos is Shabbos Zachor, and it's important to us to talk for a minute about the Maftir as well. We're told, Zachor Eis Asher Asalacha Amalek, we're told to remember what Amalek did. And Chazal remind us that Zechira is done verbally, while Lo Sishkach is done in the heart. However, the cognitive process of recall and forgetting are in the brain, they're not in the heart. So why is there a stress on the heart? So Rav Moshe Zatzal explained that Hashem wanted us to remember the evil of Amalek and feel that evil in our hearts, to know how a person can sink to such a deep, dark level, and to make sure that we never, ever get there ourselves. We need to make sure that our hate is not ever that strong. We also will read the Haftorah this Shabbos, where we read about Shaul's attempt to wipe out all of Amalek, and how he was merachim on Agag. So Shmuel tells Shaul at that point in time that I was sent l'mshachach al melech al Yisrael. I was osi shalachta. I was sent l'mshachach al melech al Yisrael. I was sent to anoint you as king. Now, why does Shmuel begin his challenge to Shaul or for his actions or inaction with Agag by noting that he was the one who anointed Shaul? And so Rav Rivlin, the former Mashgiach in Keren B'Yavne, once cited Rav Gorin, who pointed out that whenever there's a battle with Amalek that is to be successful, it must involve the children of Leah and the children of Rachel. Moshe fought the spiritual battle, while Yoshua fought the physical one. And the same was the case with Shaul over here. Shaul told him that he, Shmuel, was a partner here. And the type of twinship that happens when B'nai Leah and B'nai Rachel join together doesn't happen so easily. And if so, how does Shaul not hold his peace up? And Rav Rivlin added that this necessary twinning may explain why Mordechai is referred to both as Ish-Yehudi and Ish-Yemini. To defeat Amalek, we have to work together. We have to put B'nai Rachel with B'nai Leah. We have to have a nation that unites together to defeat all outside evil. With that in mind, and with the upcoming holiday of Purim upon us, I wish you all a Shabbat Shalom and a Purim Sameach to all.